Now, we expected today to be talking about a Christmas election in Northern Ireland, but Chris Heaton-Harris performed what he absolutely refutes was a U-turn yesterday evening and said that while there is still to be a Stormont election, it won't happen just yet. Stephen Farry, Deputy Leader of the Alliance Party and MP for North Down. Good afternoon.
Afternoon.
What are you hearing, Stephen, around Westminster and from your colleagues in Belfast about what actually happened here? What made Chris Heaton-Harris pull back at the last minute and put off that announcement of an election date?
Well, yesterday certainly was confusing, and we're not entirely sure what has happened, whether it is a long-term deferral of an election or whether it's just a minor pause and the election may still happen before Christmas. But if we are seeing a pause to reflect, that is to be welcomed, I think, because an election will be quite damaging to Northern Ireland, especially in light of the current circumstances with the cost of living crisis. And frankly, it's not going to solve anything. So I think that there has been some last-minute reflection within the Northern Ireland office and wider government, which has led to this situation. But I think it's still something that's hanging in the air and will still need to play out. And yeah. I think he's meeting with the party leaders early next week, which are probably going to be fairly seminal discussions, because we simply just can't sort of defer an election and just leave a vacuum. We need some sort of process in Northern Ireland to get government restored urgently.
Yeah, but I mean, first of all, is he legally boxed himself in here by you know, not putting in any emergency legislation before the deadline passed? And then, like, what would be the point of going back into talks? Because really the sense is that the DUP will just dig in further. There is no sense at all that the DUP are anything other than galvanised by this latest turn of events.
Sure. Well, both of those questions in turn, I think the DUP certainly have boxed themselves in. I mean, they're the main protagonist here. They're the ones who have walked away from the process and are refusing to engage. Obviously, the main issue here is around the protocol and trying to find some negotiated outcome between the UK and the European Union, and that doesn't directly involve the Northern Ireland Party. So in that sense, this particular crisis is slightly different from the previous ones, where most of the issues actually lay within the control of the Northern Ireland political system. But nonetheless, we have to try to address these in parallel. And we feel there is a need for putting pressure on the DUP and trying to convince them to come in. Otherwise, the only other alternative is to actually reform the institutions. There's a lot of talk over the past few days around the potential for some form of joint authority in the context where the power sharing becomes impossible over the coming weeks and months to restore.
Totally ruled out by Chris Heaton-Harris,
yes,
and the Northern Ireland office.
And I understand why that is the case, because formal joint authority would be outside the Good Friday Agreement. But we all know that if there is to be a return to direct rule, it can't be direct rule of the past. It has to have some degree of an Irish dimension, and that's been understood going as far back as the Anglo-Irish Agreement. But before we even get to that point, there is the option of some reform of the internal structures within Northern Ireland to try to get around the vetoes that the DUP are currently deploying. So, for example, if one party isn't prepared to take up its responsibilities, then the whole system shouldn't freeze. That offer should then pass to the next largest party in size to see if the other parties can actually go ahead without the DUP. But it's far preferable that all parties are involved if they can't be.
There is some discussion now, and I'll just leave it at this with you, Stephen Parry, that the power-sharing institutions have been out of operation for nearly 37% of the time since they were established. That's from Professor John Tong in the Irish Times today. And that article also quoting Alex Kane, the former UUP advisor, is saying that we need, or that people will now be looking at an end game that doesn't include the Assembly. That it's just, there will be an eventual acceptance, or that we are very close to now, that this is not working anymore and will never work.
Well, John Tong's figures are correct, and it is very sobering to think that they have been non-operational for that percentage of time. But I don't think we need to despair and say that power sharing in Northern Ireland is utterly doomed. It always was understood that the institutions of the Good Friday Agreement would evolve. And indeed, Senator George Mitchell appeared before the Good Friday Agreement Committee in the Oireachtas this week and was once again stressing that, in his opinion, the institutions were set up for a particular moment in time. But even he expected that there would be an evolution. We haven't had that evolution. So before we sort of write off the Assembly and power sharing in its entirety, I do accept that things are fragile and we have seen a lot of damage done. There is a different way we can do this through a different approach to power sharing. That's what my party is very keen to pursue and something we've raised with both the UK Prime Minister and the Taoiseach.
Okay, we'll have to leave it there. Stephen Farry, Deputy Leader of the Alliance Party, many thanks for taking our call today. Lynn Boylan, your colleagues were gearing up for an election and they weren't very happy about that, obviously. But are we in an even worse situation now?
Yeah, I think what Chris Heaton-Harris did yesterday has actually caused more confusion and uncertainty for the North. Look, we know what we want is the institutions up and running and delivering for the people in the North. They're suffering from a cost of living crisis like people in the South, but unfortunately the executive can't actually do anything to help them. There's hundreds of millions of pounds there that could be used if the Assembly was up and running. So, you know, that's our preference would be for the institutions to be working and delivering for all communities, and Michelle O'Neill has repeated that when she's met with Chris Heaton-Harris. But I do think what he did yesterday has only caused more confusion and uncertainty.
And has the Taoiseach added to this as well by throwing in those comments about not going back to direct rule from Westminster?
No, the key thing now is still to try and work to get the executive up and running and look after the people in Northern Ireland that voted only a few months ago. They shouldn't be asked to vote again, but the executive's not there. However, what I do want to say, Chris Heaton-Harris under the UK legislation was obliged to call an election yesterday because of the timescale, but the date was not...
Well, he could have moved to put in... an emergency.
No, well, we're coming to that. But what he did say it will be an election without setting a date, but that date in the legislation expires on the 19th of January in any event. So it doesn't have to be before Christmas, but as of now. So then the way of avoiding that hard deadline in the 19th of January is amendment to legislation in the United Kingdom. And this is where the issue is, where the problem is. There's been zero consideration for Northern Ireland during the Brexit situation all along, right up in recent months, and really it's so as a result of neglect of Northern Ireland by Westminster and the British government over a number of years, and it's now coming to a head and being crystallised here, and we really need them to get on board with the UK to work out the protocol, which can have a contributory effect to solving this issue.
Yeah, I know you were in the North,
on Thursday, just talking to colleagues in the SCLP, and they're exasperated with the situation and they're considerably worried about having an election in December. There could be a low turnout, there could be a movement to the extremes again. And
could there be a movement to the Alliance Party? Because that's what we saw in the last election.
That could happen, but what's more worrying is that the people in the North lose faith themselves in the institutions because they're getting used to them not being up and running, and they're losing faith in the in having local ministers in their own part of the world making decisions, and that Northern Irish politics is actually working. So that's the real worry.
Were you there? Was this before we had that warning from the loyalist groups that, you know?
Yeah, but this was Thursday. I mean, I think
there may be repercussions.
There's almost
here.
A feeling of a perpetual state of things not working. And when you had the election previously this year, we thought maybe that would have changed the dynamic. It hasn't. I agree with John about how, you know, the Tory party have dealt with this issue over the last number of years. Brexit is the cause for the issue around the protocol, which is the reason for the Assembly not meeting. But it is worrying. Nobody needs or wants an election, but it looks like that's where we're going to. In December, it could be a low turnout. And again, I have a concern that the Assembly will ever meet again.
OK, on that note, we'll take a break.